विश्वभर नाम भक्ति रास से भोरिला डरिला भूतक राम. In his early pastimes, he is known as Vishwambhar because he floods the world with the nectar of devotion and thus saves the living beings. Dubrindathur Artha Poshana Dharan Kushila Dharila Prema Diyatri Bhuvan. The verbal root Dubrin, which is the root of the word Vishwambhar, indicates nourishing and maintaining. He, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, nourishes and maintains the three worlds by distributing love of God.
Seshalilaya dhari nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sri Krishna janayesha bhavishva koila dhanya.
In his later pastimes, he is known as Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He blesses the whole world by teaching about the name and fame of Lord Sri Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained a householder only until his 24th year had passed. Then he entered the renounced order and remained manifest in this material world until his 48th year. Therefore, Shesha Lila, or the final portion of his activities, lasted 24 years. Some so-called Vaishnavas say that the renounced order of life is not accepted in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, or disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya. This is not a very intelligent proposition. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the sannyas order from Sripad Keshav Bharati, who belonged to the Shankar sect, which approves of only 10 names for sannyasis. Long before the advent of Sripad Shankaracharya, however, the sannyas order existed in the Vaishnav line of Vishnu Swami. In the Vishnu Swami Vaishnav Sampradaya, there are 10 different kinds of sannyas names and 108 different names for sannyasis who accept the Tridanda, the triple staff of sannyas. This is approved by the Vedic rules. Therefore, Vaishnav sannyas was in existence even before the appearance of Shankaracharya, although those who know nothing about Vaishnav sannyas unnecessarily declare that there is no sannyas in the Vaishnava Sampradaya. During the time of Lord Chaitanya, the influence of Shankaracharya in society was very strong. People thought that one could accept sannyas only in the disciplic succession of Shankaracharya. Lord Chaitanya could have performed his missionary activities as a householder, but he found householder life an obstruction to his mission. Therefore, he decided to accept the renounced order, sannyas. Since his acceptance of sannyas was also designed to attract public attention, Lord Chaitanya, not wishing to disturb the social convention, took the renounced order of life from a sannyasi in the disciplic succession of Shankaracharya, although sannyas was also sanctioned in the Vaishnava Sampradaya. So Prabhupada is explaining here that some people who do not have a correct understanding, they declare that amongst Vaishnav Sampradayas, sannyas is not recommended. There is often the quote from the Shastra that in the age of Kali Yuga, there are several things that are forbidden. One is the performance of the Ashwamedha Yajna, the performance of the Gomedha Yajna, begetting children in one's brother's wife and the acceptance of sannyas. But according to the great acharyas, this is to be understood that the type of sannyas that has been spoken of is not what the acharyas are giving in regard to the renounced order of life. After all, Vishnu Swami, Sripad Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya. Sannyas is very prominent in all of these great sampradayas. In fact, Shankaracharya was so strict that he would not even accept you as a serious student until after you had taken sannyas. First take sannyas, then you can understand Vedanta from me. And here Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Vishnu Swami, he was a sannyasi himself, he was giving the Tridanda sannyas even before Shankaracharya's time. We find in the life of Madhvacharya, who's the founder of our sampradaya, when he was only 12 years old, he took sannyas. Although his parents, his mother and father, how much they wept, how much they cried. It is not that they had all blessings from their family members. Madhvacharya, how did he take sannyas? When he was 8 years old, he accepted initiation from his Gurudev, Achyuta Pariksha. He decided, I want to take sannyas. I do not want to be with my family anymore because it is a hindrance to the mission of becoming Krishna conscious and spreading the message of Krishna consciousness. And his father was so much attached to him. His mother was so much attached to him. He was the only child. He was the only son. Who will maintain us? Who will protect us? When we are old, they were thinking. What to speak of just their natural love and affection for him. So, Srila Madhvacharya, when his parents came to the ashram of Achyuta Pariksha and found out that he was planning to take the renounced order of sannyas, they demanded that he come home. He would not come home. They begged, they pleaded, they ordered, he would not come home. So Achyuta Pariksha went to his wife to explain the situation. I mean, not Achyuta Pariksha, but Madhva's father went to the wife to explain the situation. And she said, we must get him back somehow or other. We must get him back. So again he went, and by that time Madhva was already traveling with his Gurudev. So the father went through the jungles, through the forests, through the villages, through the agricultural fields, trying to find him. And finally, in a jungle setting, he found his little son, little boy, with his Gurudev. And he begged, he pleaded, he commanded every possible trick. He cried, he wept. We will commit suicide, all these things. Finally, he fell at the feet. Madhva was very firm. But I'm not coming. I'm going to dedicate my life in this way. But you are our only son. You must come home. This is against all principles. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papubhyo mokshaya shami mast. Madhva understood that if you surrender to Krishna utterly, all other principles are irrelevant.
all social obligations and all other principles of morality, they are to be abandoned by one who is completely surrendering their lives to the mission of Sri Krishna. So Madhvacharya, how he was so staunch that finally his father said, if you do like this, your wife and your mother and I will both commit suicide. Madhva looked at them and said, then commit suicide. Go ahead, do it. And then finally his father fell at his feet, fell at his son's feet. And his son said, the fact that you are at my feet, this means an older man will not fall at a child, at a father. When the father fell at his feet, Madhva said, you know, an older person will never fall at a younger person's feet unless that younger person is a sannyasi. So by your falling at my feet, you're confirming my desire that I should take sannyas. So then, father was appealing in a very humble tone at that point. And he said, but we have no other child. Please, at least wait until we have another child, another son, to take care of us. So Madhva softened his heart and he said, all right. When you have another son, then I will take sannyas. But I will not come home in the meanwhile. I will stay with my Gurudev as brahmachari. So the next year a child was born. So then he came only for that. Otherwise he was staying with Gurudev in the ashram. And he came back, he said, now you give me your blessings to take sannyas because a child is born. They said, no, not impossible. They changed their mind, of course. He said, okay, I'll make you a deal. Don't give me your blessings. I'll be a brahmachari, but you will never see me again for the rest of your life. Give your blessings, I'll take sannyas, but I'll communicate with you every now and then. Those are your two alternatives. So under those circumstances, they knew he was very serious, so they gave their blessings. And then he accepted sannyas at 12 years old. And all of his principal followers were sannyasis. Before he left this world, he established 8 sannyasis, and each of them established 8 mutts. And to this day, those 8 sannyasis, not by birth, but by their disciplic succession of initiation or diksha, the sannyasis of those 8, and then there was another 4, so now there are 12 mutts that lead the entire Madhva Sampradaya. So who can say that Vaishnavas, there's no sannyasis not recommended in Vaishnava order? And then there's the life of Ramanuja, another of the great Vaishnava acharyas. Ramanuja was a married man. And one very great sadhu, he considered a shiksha guru, he was coming to where Ramanuja was living. They were in the Kanchipuram area. He was coming to where he was living, and one day Ramanuja was out, and this very great sadhu came to the house and came begging. And Ramanuja's wife, She insulted him and told him to go away. Worthless sadhu beggar, what do we need you for? Go away. And on the way, when that person was in his dejected state, was going away, he met Ramanuja on the way and he heard what happened. So Ramanuja told this person that, I'll tell you what to do, told the sadhu. Take this note to my wife, that you are a messenger, that there is problem in her father and mother's family, and that they need her to come home to her native village immediately. And because you are the messenger from her family, she will be very nice to you. So, went home to the house of Ramanujam and gave this message. And she said, oh, I must go immediately. And then Ramanuja came home and she said, I have received this message. I said, oh, you better go immediately. It's very important. Your parents are calling for you. So then she went home and Ramanujan was thinking, she's not favorable to Krishna consciousness. She's not helping me. She's not properly respecting the sadhus or my gurus. Therefore, it is not a favorable condition. So while she was away at her parents' house, Ramanuja took sannyas. Never to see her again. Huh? Here's another of the great acharyas in the four sampradayas. So in this way we can understand, and his principal followers also were very, very great stalwart sannyasis. Also, Ramanujam had many very, very great powerful grihastha disciples. And then, of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, he descended as Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And although he was only 24 years old, his wife was only 16. His mother was old and a widow. She had no children. Sachi Devi had two sons. One had already taken sannyas and left her heart broken. She had eight daughters before that. They all died just after birth. So all she had left was Lord Gauranga. It was all she had in life. So an old, helpless woman and a young teenage wife who was helpless to take care of herself. And he was only 24. 24 years old is the peak of the time when people really want to start enjoying life. But when he saw that his household life was unfavorable for his mission, even though he had such love for his mother and his wife, there was, as far as they were concerned, there was nothing unfavorable. They were completely supportive. Whatever he wanted to do, they would support and completely dedicate their life and soul to anything he desired. But the society was not properly respecting him because of his ashram. He understood, people will offer obeisances to me, people will hear me better. How did he get this realization? One day Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu was sitting under a tree and in great ecstasy he started chanting, Gopi, 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 the names of gopis. And one Brahmin student, very proud, very arrogant, like most of the people of Navadvip at the time, especially Brahmins, he came and said, what are you doing chanting names of gopis? This is not prescribed in the Shastra. You're supposed to be chanting the name of God. But he was in an ecstatic trance. He was in the mood of Sri Krishna, Sri Radharani, in their love. So he picked up a stick and chased that student away. And that student, he became so insulted that who is this person? I'm a high-class, high-born Brahmin and he's chasing me with a stick. So he went to all the other Brahmin students and complained and they became outraged that anyone could take a stick upon one of themselves, Brahmins. Everyone should respect us, honor us, adore us. He is chasing us with sticks. So there was much criticism. So Lord Gauranga began to think at that time, and as long as I'm in a household ashram, these puffed up Mayavadis, these arrogant Brahmins, they will not listen to me. But if I'm a sannyasi, everyone will offer respects to me. And everyone will hear this message. So therefore, he left. In the middle of the night, the night before, he told Lord Nityananda, Chandrasekhara Acharya, Mukunda, Gadadhar, a few others. He told them, we will go to Katwa and I will accept sannyas. Ah. That night, Vishnupriya was massaging his feet with great chastity and devotion. And when she fell asleep, as he was leaving the house, Sachimata, she was getting dreams that my son might leave tonight, an unbearable thought. So she was standing at the door. And Lord Chaitanya, he came to her and touched her feet. Told her, now, my mother, I'm going to take sannyas. And she stood petrified like wood. She could not move, she could not speak. And then he left. So why did he choose Keshava Bharati? As it is explained here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically took initiation in Madhva Sampradaya. Out of the four Sampradayas, he specially chose Madhva Sampradaya because he knew that this Mayavad philosophy was so prominent in society amongst transcendentalists that in order to establish pure bhakti, one must very much refute this Mayavad philosophy. And he accepted that more than any other acharya, Madhva has done this. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted two essential principles from all the four sampradayas. He really did not favor one over the other. In fact, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu synthesized in such an intimate and beautiful way all the four Vaishnava sampradayas. From the Madhva Sampradaya, he took his tremendous refutation of Mayavada or impersonal philosophy, which declares that the living entity and the Paramatma are one and the same. He established that we are eternally, simultaneously one and different. Achintya Abheda Bheda Tattva. And also from Madhvacharya, he took the worship of the deity of Krishna. For those of you who have gone to Udupi, we find Madhvacharya's worshipable deity as child Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna. From the Ramanuja Sampradaya, he took the path of Raga, Raga Marg, which means the path of spontaneous love, and service to the Vaishnavas. Ramanujacharya very much stressed service to the Vaishnavas.
Path of Raga, what does that mean?
Raga Marg means spontaneous love. From the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, or the Rudra Sampradaya, he took complete dependence on only Krishna, Sri Krishna Sharanamam, and what was the other? Do you remember? Sri Krishna Sharanam. Complete dependence only on Krishna. Anyways, and from the Nimbark Sampradaya, he took two principles. The paramount importance of Sri Radharani and worshipping and the worship of her lotus feet, and the high esteem for the gopis' love for Krishna.
Yes. December 19th.
Acharya, complete refutation of Mayavad philosophy and the worship of the deity of Krishna. From Ramanuja Acharya, the great importance of service to the Vaishnavas and devotional service unpolluted by jnana or karma. From Vishnu Swami, complete dependence on only Krishna and the path and path of Raga Marg, spontaneous. And from Nimbarka Acharya, the paramount importance of the worship of Sri Radharani and the high esteem for the gopis' love for Krishna. So Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he accepted initiation from Ishwara Puri, who was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri,
very much because this sampradaya was teaching this refutation of Mayavad philosophy, which was very important. So why is it, after that, making that decision for his first initiation, that he accepts sannyas from the Mayavad sampradaya? Huh? It's a mystery. The Prabhupada is here explaining, giving light. The reason is that the whole purpose, the whole reason he took sannyas, is to get people to respect and hear what he had to say for their own purification and salvation. And because the people of the age were so much thinking in terms that sannyasis mean Shankara sannyasis, that the Vaishnava sannyasis were not giving proper respect. Shankaracharya's teachings and his sannyasis were very, very powerful at the time. Therefore, he accepted sannyas from Keshava Bharati so that he would get the respect and the obeisance by which people would benefit. And Keshava Bharati Maharaj, he was also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And Keshava Bharati Maharaj also accepted Shankara's line of sannyas for the same purpose, to reach people's hearts with the message of bhakti. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own guru, Ishwara Puri, who's also a disciple in a Vaishnava sampradaya, disciple of Madhavendra Puri, he also took sannyas from the Mayavad school. So therefore, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did was very much in line with his previous acharyas. And what was the purpose? The whole purpose of his taking sannyas was to somehow or other reach people and change their hearts, change their lives. Even though it was very unorthodox as far as tradition goes. In other words, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Ishwara Puri, Keshava Bharati, their spirit, their teachings, their love, everything was purely in line with the path of bhakti. But the external form of their sannyas, internally their sannyas was pure, was only for the purpose of dedicating their mind, body, and words and soul to the service of Krishna. The internal purpose of sannyas was simply according to the principles of bhakti in the purest and highest state. But externally they took forms by which they could reach people better. They did this because this was the climate in India at the time. How to reach people. Kala Desha Patra. A good preacher has to evaluate the time, place, and the people and preach accordingly. Otherwise, what is the use of preaching all nice philosophy if nobody listens, if nobody's hearts change, if nobody's lives change? In the Shankara Sampradaya, there are 10 different names awarded to sannyasis. Of course, after hearing all this, and then when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, what did he do? He traveled so many places in relationship to Raghunath Das Goswami. He told Raghunath Das, when Raghunath escaped from his parents, he was also an only son. He was the only son. And his parents were great, great devotees. They were so wealthy, they were practically sponsoring the missionary activities of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But Raghunath didn't want to be like that. He didn't want to be a big beneficiary of the devotees. He wanted to be a sannyasi. So he came to Jagannath Puri and fell at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after escaping. And Lord Gauranga, he said, "Oh, Raghunath, you are very fortunate. Household life is like a deep, dark pit where people go to pass stool. And those attached householders are like worms in that stool. And you are so kind because only Krishna can free one from that situation." And he accepted him. And Raghunath became a Goswami. And Rup and Sanatan were high-posted ministers under the king. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met him, he said, "Leave this place, take sannyas, go to Vrindavan."
He gave them sannyas, sent them to Vrindavan. He may not have given them sannyas with a fire sacrifice and all the external, but he gave them sannyas by his order, by his spirit. Swami, he told him, your parents are very, very great pure devotees. You should go back and take care of them, but do not marry. As soon as they leave their bodies, come back here, become a Goswami. Huh? And also there's the Kurma Brahmin in South India. He was a householder and he wanted to leave and take sannyas, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you go back home, you take care of your family, you always chant Hare Krishna and preach in that ashram. And Ramananda Rai also was a Grihastha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he wanted him to stay just in that position. So you see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not for or against Grihastha life. He was not for or against sannyas life. He was for only one thing: whatever's best for preaching Krishna consciousness. And he was against anything that was an obstruction to that. Therefore, most of his disciples were Grihasthas, and he encouraged them to go on like that. But some special few, he encouraged them, you should take sannyas. You should dedicate your life only for this purpose. So therefore, we must understand, according to the founder of this whole institution, we're talking not of a material institution, we're talking about a spiritual movement. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the founder of this great spiritual movement. He is God himself. Dharmam tu shakshad bhagavat puranitam. Real religion can only be propounded by one person, and that is God. And all we can do is be his representatives. That is the best, the only thing. And if we're not representing God, what he has taught, what he has given, through Guru Sadhu Shastra, then we are simply cheating people, misleading people. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established his principle that I am not a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. I am not a sannyasi, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Brahmachari. I'm only aspiring to be the servant of the servant of the servant, of Gopi Bhartur, of the Lord of the Gopis. So in this way, we are not against or for any ashram. We are only for Krishna consciousness. And there is need for first-class sannyasis. And anyone who says that Vaishnava, in our Vaishnava line, that people should not take sannyas, those people are crazy. How can they speak against the example and the teachings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, even Shankaracharya? Although he was a Mayavad in disguise, internally, Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, he's actually the greatest Vaishnav, Shiva. So this is not... We should not favor one ashram and unfavor another ashram. We should understand there is a need for first-class sannyasis who are dedicating their minds, bodies, words only to the service of Krishna. There is a dire need for first-class brahmacharis who are setting the highest standard of just giving everything as a humble servant of the sannyasis. There is a dire need for first-class grihasthas, people who are living in this world but not of this world, and as well as vanaprasthas, those grihasthas who are gradually dedicating their lives to a more and more renounced spirit. So in this way, there shouldn't be sectarianism amongst the ashrams. If there is, that means neophyte understanding. We're better than you. Nobody's better than anyone. In the Vaishnava Sampradaya, who considers himself the least is the best. And he who considers himself the best is the least. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada here is very, very strongly making this point of the importance and the sanctity of all these four ashrams, and why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally accepted the renounced order of life. In the Shankar Sampradaya, there are 10 different names awarded to sannyasis: Tirtha, Ashram, Vana, Aranya, Giri, Parvat, Sagara, Saraswati, Bharati, and Puri. Before one enters sannyas,
he has one of the various names for a brahmachari, the assistant to a sannyasi. Sannyasis with the title Tirtha and Ashram generally stay at Dwarka. Their brahmachari name is Swarup. Those known by the names of Vana and Aranya stay in Jagannath Puri, and their brahmachari name is Prakash. Those with the names Giri, Paravat, and Sagara generally stay at Badrikashram, and their brahmachari name is Ananda. Those with the title Saraswati, Bharati, and Puri usually live in Sringeri in South India, and the brahmachari name is Chaitanya. Sripad Shankaracharya established four monasteries in India in the four directions, north, south, east, and west, and he entrusted them to four sannyasis who were his disciples. Now there are hundreds of branch monasteries under these four principal monasteries, and although there is an official symmetry among them, there are many differences in their dealings. The different four different sects of their monasteries are known as Anandavara, Bhogavara, Kitavara, and Bhumivara, and in course of time they have developed different ideas and different slogans. According to the regulation of the disciplic succession, one who wishes to enter the renounced order in Shankar's sect must first be trained as a brahmachari under a bona fide sannyasi. The brahmachari's name is ascertained according to the group to which the sannyasi belongs. Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas from Keshava Bharati. When he first approached Keshava Bharati, he was accepted as a brahmachari with the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya Brahmachari. After he took sannyas, he preferred to keep the name Krishna Chaitanya. The great authorities in the disciplic succession had not offered to explain why Lord Chaitanya refused to take the name Bharati after he took sannyas from a Bharati, until Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj volunteered the explanation that because a sannyasi in the Shankar Sampradaya thinks that he has become the supreme, Lord Chaitanya, wanting to avoid such a misconception, kept the name Sri Chaitanya, placing himself as an eternal servitor. A brahmachari is supposed to serve the spiritual master. Therefore, he did not negate that relationship of servitude to his spiritual master. Accepting such a position is favorable for the relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master. The authentic biographies also mention that Lord Chaitanya accepted the danda and begging pot, symbolic of the sannyas order, at the time he took sannyas. So here, Srila Prabhupada is describing that traditionally, when one serves a sannyasi, one takes a particular brahmachari name. But after taking sannyas, one inherits the name of that particular sannyas line. Because he took sannyas from Keshava Bharati Maharaj, he should have been named Bharati Maharaj. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking, now I have received the dignity of the sannyas, the external dignity in the eyes of people of taking sannyas in this order. But he wanted to give another lesson to people, which is very important. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is explaining. Because according to the Shankarites, when you take sannyas, you become Narayan. They even address themselves, Namo Narayan. Now we sometimes, the Ramanuja Bhaktas also say Namo Narayan. When then Ramanujam say Namo Narayan, that means I offer my obeisances to Narayan, who is the Paramatma in your heart. But the Shankara's idea is when they say amongst sannyasis Namo Narayan, that means because you are sannyas, you are Narayan. One who takes sannyas in that order becomes God by that act of renunciation of everything in the material world. He becomes God. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want people to think that because he took sannyas, he was God. He came to establish eternal servitude to God. Brahmachari name means servitude, and sannyas name means becoming God in the Shankar line. So he kept his brahmachari name to show people, although I'm a sannyasi, my mind is that I'm eternally the servant. I don't want anyone to think for even a second that I think that I could ever become God. Is there any questions?
Sometimes there are Vaishnava sannyasi names, like for instance, which are also names of Krishna, like Radhanath Swami. What does that indicate? The servant of Krishna?
See, all of our names are
various names of Krishna. We are not, you see, he did this because he was specifically in this line he wanted to establish. But because we are not in this line, we don't have to worry about this misconception. Because we are taking sannyas directly and purely in a Vaishnava sampradaya. There's no question of that misconception for us. But because he was taking sannyas in an impersonalist sampradaya, he wanted to make sure that that distinction was there. That is the difference. In the Vaishnava sampradaya, it is understood, whatever your name is, you're accepting the position of eternal servitude. Yes?
You told a story about Ramanujacharya taking sannyas. It is said that if you have a wife, you have to take her consent before taking sannyas. So,
who says that?
Scriptures.
What?
Scriptures.
Where does it say? Where? There's different slokas for different folks. Sarva dharman puritya sham amekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papi bhyo moksha isham amasya. Krishna says, abandon all these other slokas and just surrender to me. You cannot understand the scripture except through the great acharyas' examples and their teachings. If you try to approach the scripture on your own, you will be bewildered, because it'll say, you'll find so many conflicting statements. Did Lord Chaitanya get consent from Vishnupriya? She didn't even know until after it was done. And he was playing the part of a devotee to show an example to us. He was not in the role of God. And Ramanujacharya, his wife didn't even know until after it was done. Did Srila Prabhupada get the consent of his wife?
One lecture you were saying that now children have been married, she's wife is old, she...
Yeah, that may be, but he never got consent. His children were grown up, his wife was all right, but they still demanded that he take care of them. In fact, some years ago, I went to Mayapur, to the Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir, Navadvipa Dham, and while I was there, I was introduced to one of Srila Prabhupada's sons. And you know, that temple is the most magnificent temple practically in all of India. The gardens, the fountains, everything is so beautiful and full of life. And I was just, this is what your father has done. I hope you must be so proud of him. Not only has he done this, but he's opened hundreds of centers throughout the world and changed millions of people's lives and printed, and he's distributed more Bhagavad Gitas than anyone in the history of the world. And you know what he said to me? He said to me, but he never should have left my mother. Do you know what he did to my mother when he left? That's what he said to me. He was like, that was more important. So, in most cases, that is true. Just like one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples wanted to take sannyas. And he said, unless you get the blessings and a heartfelt permission from your wife, you cannot do. Prabhupada would generally be like that amongst his disciples.